Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, July 18th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira. Here are our top stories this evening. The Harare City Council today launched a blitz on illegal structures and demolished some properties in the city's Glenora high-density suburb.
Some Glenora residents said they were shocked to learn that houses they were building had been demolished by council workers without any warning from authorities.
Zimbabweans shocked by the death of top novelist and poet Chenge Raihove.
It's not easy for a man of that caliber and that age to decide to move and live elsewhere. You know, abandoning this beautiful home, beautiful family, beautiful friends. There's a lot of political statement behind it.
And organizers of the weekend prayer rally for activist Itai Dzamara, who was abducted by a known assailant some 4 months ago, say the Harare event was a big success.
It was overwhelmingly successful despite challenges. You know, last time when you talked to me, I very deliberately decided not to disclose the fact that the police on Thursday, they had actually given me a letter of disapproval.
These stories and much, much more coming up. The Harare City Council today launched a blitz on illegal structures and demolished some properties in the city's Glenora high-density suburb. Thomas Cheripasi visited several affected residents and filed this report from the capital.
Some Glenora residents said they were shocked to learn that houses they were building had been demolished by council workers without any warning from authorities or even a court order. One affected home builder is Tekla Nyamundanda, who told Studio 7 her incomplete house, which had reached the window level, was reduced to rubble.
I arrived here with my hoe and I wanted to clear the yard, but only to find that the house that I was building has been destroyed by council. I am left with nothing. And even those people who are sitting there have been affected.
Another affected resident, Matthew Nyanyiwa, claimed that he bought his residential stand through a ZANU-PF linked cooperative called Five Greater Heights, headed by one Tafadzwa Machemedze. He claimed that he did not know that he was constructing a house on land that was not approved by council.
We know that when someone has built a structure, it is his and he is the rightful owner, but we don't know what council is basing these demolitions on. We paid a deposit of $600 per person to get a stand from the cooperative.
Studio 7 failed to get a comment from Machemedze as he was not reachable on his mobile phone. Reacting to the demolitions, council spokesperson Michael Chideme said all the affected people were notified before the demolitions took place today.
Yes, I can confirm there were demolitions in Glenora, about 11 properties which were built illegally. And what we are saying to the residents of Harare, people should not buy land from land barons because they risk losing their property, they risk losing their investments. People should always buy land from certified sellers like the city council or private developers who have been approved by council. So what we are saying as well is anybody who thinks he has been sold land illegally, they should go to the police and report so that they can recover their money. Otherwise, they will lose in the end. And people should take our warnings seriously, because those warnings that we give are very genuine, they are very serious, and we mean business.
Chideme warned residents against buying properties from land barons, adding that his council will destroy all illegal structures.
I think that's a bit unfounded, because every month council approves the allocation of residential land to housing cooperatives, to individuals. So these people, I think they are just trying to, of course they will have something to say, because these land barons sold land illegally and people now feel cheated by them and they have to put up an argument. But otherwise, it's an argument in futility.
Today's demolition of the 11 houses is reminiscent of the 2005 Operation Murambatswina or Operation Drive Out Filth, which left more than 700,000 people homeless. According to the United Nations, more than 2.4 million people were indirectly affected by this operation. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
At the same time, vendors operating from undesignated areas in Zimbabwe's eastern border city of Mtare have vowed to stay put, saying the ruling ZANU-PF party should first avail the 2 million jobs it promised in the run-up to the 2013 general elections. The vendors told Studio 7 the local authority should also provide a convenient place with ablution facilities for selling their wares before thinking of removing them from the undesignated selling points. Several Zimbabwean authors today joined hundreds visiting the home of exiled acclaimed author and critic of President Robert Mugabe, Chenjerai Hove, who died in Norway yesterday.
Some Glenora residents said they were shocked to learn that houses they were building had been demolished by council workers without any warning from authorities or even a court order. One affected home builder is Tekla Nyamundanda, who told Studio 7 her incomplete house, which had reached the window level, was reduced to rubble.
We will be coming back to you with Chifera reporting on the death of author and critic of President Robert Mugabe, Chenjerai Hove. But for now, we go to our next story. Organizers of a prayer rally for Itai Dzamara of Occupy Africa Unity Square, who was abducted by unknown assailants 4 months ago, say the Harare event was a big success, though police tried to stop it last Thursday. Bishop Anselimo Magaya says they ended up obtaining a high court order to ensure that the rally, which was attended by several leaders of various parties and expelled ZANU-PF senior officials Jabulani Sibanda and Themba Mliswa, was not blocked. Political leaders who attended the event signed a so-called peace declaration calling for the safe return of Dzamara, whose group is still urging President Robert Mugabe to step down for allegedly failing to run Zimbabwe. Magaya tells Studio 7 people were angry over the government's silence on Dzamara's disappearance.
It was overwhelmingly successful despite challenges. You know, last time when you talked to me, I very deliberately decided not to disclose the fact that the police on Thursday, they had actually given me a letter of disapproval. But you see, the people to whom the message had been sent had already been mobilized, and we did not want to send an alarm. So we proceeded planning, we proceeded mobilizing people. And then Friday morning, we did consult our lawyer, who worked very hard, and we really want to thank God for him, Ms. Mahanda. And there was an urgent chamber application, and the court did sit around 7 p.m. on Friday, and then they gave us again that order. So it was successful. People were really thankful to God, and people did pray. People expressed their disappointment, and very, very clear messages were sent to the powers that be.
We understand that there was a declaration of peace that was signed. May you tell us what really is in the declaration?
How people have been disturbed by the abduction of Itai Dzamara, and also to really express further the disappointment, because this abduction has taken place in a context where a constitution that was written was overwhelmingly voted for. We actually demanded that President Robert Mugabe, as the head of government and state, should come out in the open and instruct his state machineries to actually look out for Dzamara and ensure his safe return home.
That was Bishop Anselimo Magaya speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri from Harare. Now we bring you the report by Ivan Jifera about several Zimbabwean authors today joining hundreds who are visiting the home of exiled acclaimed Zimbabwean author and critic of President Robert Mugabe, Chenjerai Hove, who died in Norway yesterday.
Fellow writer and friend Chirikure Chirikure described Hove's death as a great loss, adding that Most worrying is the fact that he died thousands of miles away from his family, relatives and friends.
It's not easy for a man of that caliber and that age to decide to move and live elsewhere, you know, abandoning this beautiful home, beautiful family, beautiful friends. But it's all much deeper than just a simple question of just packing your bags and go. It's a lot of political statement behind it, and there are a lot of political complications as well.
The Zimbabwe Writers Union Secretary General, writer, University of Zimbabwe lecturer, and a student of the late Hove said the late novelist's literature had a great impact and will continue to do so even after his death.
His literature has had great impact, especially when it goes out to narrate stories of ordinary people in Zimbabwe. And even before that novel, his poetry, very powerful, describing the colonial era, describing the liberation struggle, the suffering.
Another writer, David Mungoshi, described the late Hove as a humorous person, noting that he left some unpublished works that would be published in the near future.
What he wrote for me, reminiscing about his visit to North Korea, it's so well done. I remember saying to him, this should be a book. I think we'll see what we can do about that.
Irene Staunton, who worked with Mungoshi during her days at Baobab Books, said it was said that Hove died so young and thousands of kilometers away from home. The award-winning 59-year-old Hove, who went into exile in 2001, succumbed to a liver failure on Sunday in Norway, where he was an International Writers Project Fellow at Brown University Watson Institute for International Studies. Hove once worked for Moto Magazine, Interpress Service, Zimbabwe Publishing House, and the University of Zimbabwe as a writer in residence. Some of his novels include Bones, published in 1988, which focuses on the differences between colonialism and independence from British rule. The other novel is Masimba Avanu, or Is This the People's Power? This novel got him noticed by the ruling elite as he questioned some political processes in the country. Hove received the Zimbabwe Writing Award in 1987, the Noma Award for Publishing in Africa in 1989, and a Germany Africa Award for Freedom of Expression in 2001. He leaves behind a wife and 6 children, and the family is making arrangements to bring his body back home for burial. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Young Zimbabwean entrepreneurs who concluded 3 months of training under the Tony Elumelu Entrepreneurship Program at the weekend in Nigeria say they've gained a wealth of experience and knowledge that will enable them to take their business acumen to a whole new level. Studio 7's Ntunga Milinkomo reports.
The 12 are among a contingent of 1,000 young business people drawn from various African countries who took part in the inaugural edition of the Tony Elumelu Entrepreneurship Program. After undergoing a rigorous 3 months of training online in Zimbabwe, the entrepreneurs flew to Nigeria on Friday to cap their program with a 2-day boot camp. One of them is Tawanda Mushwaire, founder of Goshen International Private Limited, a company that specializes in recycling. Mushwaire says his Tony Elumelu experience has been invaluable.
We have been taught to be able to operate properly and be able to market our products across borders. That makes us have a bigger market in terms of exposure.
Another beneficiary, Melissa Muzingi, who runs an online store called Z-Label, which sells Zimbabwean clothing designs and accessories, says she learned a lot from the Tony Elumelu program. Muzingi adds that besides the capital she's walking away with, she was able to establish a lot of critical contacts.
Aside from the funding, one of the best things about the program is just making contacts. That's the kind of exposure you need in order to expand your business regionally and globally as well.
All the 1,000 Elumelu program participants will each receive 5,000 non-returnable seed money and a further 5,000 as a loan. The Tony Elumelu Entrepreneurship Program was founded last year by Nigerian billionaire Tony Elumelu with the objective of uplifting young African business persons. Other Zimbabwean Elumelu fellows include Makwil Todd Chikwenengere, Mehluli Dube, Ignatius Tichaona Zingirai, Senzeni Mpofu, Kevin Victor Mtutu, John Mukesi, Ian Mutamiri, Tendai Muomo, Herbert Zerezina, and Tinashe Nyoni. In Washington, I'm Tungamili Nkomo reporting for VOA Studio 7.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up, Studio 7's Tatenda Gumbo takes a closer look at health issues related to tobacco use. And it's getting tougher for Premier Soccer League holders, Dynamos. But first, a look at regional and international news. Iraq announced today the start of an offensive to recapture its western Anbar province from Islamic State militants who control large areas, including the cities of Ramadi and Fallujah. Negotiators from Iran and a group of six countries, including the United States, worked today to close 18 months of talks and finalize their long-sought comprehensive agreement on Iran's nuclear program. Greece and its European partners have reached a third bailout deal after a marathon summit session. European Union President Donald Tusk said today from Brussels that a unanimous agreement had been reached after 17 hours of talks. And the Chinese government says that the country's two-way trade fell nearly 7% during the first half of 2015 compared to the same period a year ago. Zimbabwe last year earned $773 million through tobacco sales, which were largely consumed by China. But at home, the country is battling the health effects of the finished product smoked daily by thousands. According to the Daily News, the British American Tobacco Zimbabwe and Savannah Tobacco in 2014 produced some 3 billion cigarette products, meaning statistically that Zimbabweans smoke roughly 10 million cigarettes per day. The health effects of smoking are far-reaching, and according to health professionals, smoking can affect nearly all parts of the human body. Some of the commonly known diseases associated with tobacco smoking are cancers of the throat and the lungs. Smoking can also increase chances of a heart disease, strokes, blindness, diabetes, and even high blood pressure, which has led to health professionals calling for Zimbabweans to quit smoking in order to improve and guard their health. For perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo speaks with former health minister Dr. Henry Madzorera, who is now a private medical doctor. Dr. Madzorera says despite challenges of tobacco smoking, Africa is the next frontier for tobacco companies.
I would want to sound that warning that Africa, we must be very careful because we are looked at as the next biggest market in terms of growth for the tobacco industry.
Now, looking at smoking, of course, they are indeed side effects. Can you speak on some of the side effects that come from smoking tobacco?
Tobacco is extremely dangerous. It's one of the most dangerous substances we have. It's worse than alcohol because tobacco affects virtually every part of the body.
In Zimbabwe, what is being marketed in order to stop the use of smoking or stop people from smoking?
No, Zimbabwe is not doing enough to conscientize the people on the adverse effects of smoking. We are certainly not doing enough. We were hoping that we would be moving towards passing legislation that decreases the ability of the tobacco industry to advertise, like they've done in other countries where, you know, advertising of tobacco products in the public media, like television, newspapers, is prohibited, where tobacco containers are no longer attractive, you know. In some countries, you cannot make them attractive. They're just white containers, and that reduces the incidence. So we are not, from a legislative point of view, we are doing zero, and we have to improve that.
Speaking on legislator, what is happening in Zimbabwe in regards to laws that prohibit smoking in public? Are those laws there, and how effective have they been?
Now, in terms of the prohibition of smoking in public places, Zimbabwe, I think, has done well on the legislation. You are not permitted to smoke in public buildings, in buses, and so forth. But in terms of implementation of that law, you know, enforcement, rather, of that law, there's nothing being done. People still smoke in combis, in buses.
And what about the effects, Dr. Mazurera, of secondhand smoke? Can you talk about that and how widespread and it affects someone who is subjected to passive smoke, as you said earlier?
Passive smoking is a real hazard. If you're a passive smoker, you're just as good as an active smoker. You are smoking secondhand smoke and you are being forced to smoke. This is a big problem, particularly in the homes. There is no law really, as far as I know, which prohibits, for example, parents from smoking in their houses and subjecting their family to passive smoking. Passive smoking is just as bad. You get the same side effects, same long-term consequences of smoking as someone who actively smokes. And we really need to look at that, particularly passive smoking in public places.
And Zimbabwe, of course, is a huge exporter of tobacco. Does this have any implication?
You see, tobacco starts affecting people before it's processed. The tobacco farmers themselves, the people who pick tobacco, the people who cure it in the barn, are subjected to nicotine and other elements in tobacco as workers. And just growing tobacco itself is a health hazard. And then once we export it, yeah, it goes to other lands. And I think more tobacco, Zimbabwean tobacco, is consumed outside of Zimbabwe than within Zimbabwe. What we need to do is really to guard the communities against the use of finished products. That's what we need to do. We need to increase the price of tobacco in Zimbabwe. So the issue of growing tobacco, we do not fight wars on many fronts. I think we can leave the farmers alone for now and concentrate on protecting our people from smoking. Let those who want to grow tobacco and make their money, as long as they send it out. It is the duty of those countries, the recipient countries, to protect their populations, because you can't force this on people. That is my opinion. And once we have educated our population, and once they know, then we can move on to the issue of the growers, also to protect them.
And Dr. Mazurera, to bring this all back, what is your message to our listeners?
Our advice to all Zimbabweans is smoking is not good for your health. You should never start smoking because it's difficult to stop once you've started. Smoking is one of the worst evils.
That was former Health Minister Dr. Henry Mazurera on the line there with Studio 7's Tatenda Gumbo from Harare. Bulawayo Mayor Martin Moyo says the local authority should be given a chance to assess the use of water meters that have been rejected by most Zimbabweans. He says the controversial meters are designed to benefit residents and the city council, which is likely to cut down operational costs if they are introduced. Correspondent Taurai Shava has more.
Moyo told Studio 7 today that plans are at an advanced stage for the city to introduce the meters, as tenders have already been invited to apply for the procurement of the gadgets, which will be initially installed in the first phase of the project in Cowdery Park, high-density suburb. The mayor acknowledged arguments against the introduction of prepaid water meters on the basis that it would mean that some people would not be able to access clean water, as they may not be able to buy the water on a prepaid basis. But he said there are huge costs involved in availing water to residents, and revealed that the council owes the Zimbabwe Electricity Supply Authority $51.7 million, mostly in water pumping charges.
The concept of free water in a city is not applicable. It's applicable outside. Those that go to the river and fetch water, that water is free. But this water we've gone into an expense to manufacture it, to process it, so that it is portable. It can be used without any danger to life coming from the diseases that are waterborne.
Moyo urged residents and other stakeholders to give council a chance to introduce and assess the usage of water meters, saying that it could turn out to be beneficial to both council and residents. He said if the council realizes that the idea of prepaid meters is not viable, it will abandon them.
Now, you cannot stop us from trying out a new idea. I mean, it's just a new idea that has come. If it doesn't work, we will drop it and say, this one, it doesn't work. So, yes, there is that agitation from some quarters, but I think sometimes there are other motivations which are not necessarily the concern for the residents, so to speak.
Turning to the issue of illegal vending, Moyo said this council has been working with vendors to identify designated places and allocating them to informal traders. He said the council applied for a deferment of the ministerial directive to evict the vendors from the city centre.
We do not believe in fighting with vendors. Let's manage them. Let's remove them from where we don't want them to work because they are interfering with other people's businesses or they are blocking the streets. And so move them where we think it is allowable.
In other news from Lawayo, the Zimbabwe International Trade Fair Company says all is set for this year's edition of Mine Entra. ZITF General Manager Norman Lovu told journalists that 84% of the exhibition space has been taken and 147 exhibitors, including 5 foreign companies, have registered to attend. Reporting for Studio 7 from Lawayo, this is Taurai Shava.
Dynamos have dropped one place down the Premier Soccer League table due to the club's poor performance at the weekend. Reporter Michael Cariati has more details on this and other Premier Soccer League match results.
5 goalless draws characterized the weekend Kasolaga Premier Soccer League program as defending champions Dynamos dropped one place down the pecking order. The champions were held to a goalless draw by visiting Wange in a game Chipangano could easily had won had they utilized all the scoring opportunities that came their way. Wange hit the woodwork on 3 occasions, and coach Nation Dube is crying over those missed opportunities.
It was a tough game, a seesaw game, but I think we really missed a lot of chances in the first half. We should have maybe buried them in the...
The result has seen Dynamos drop to 4th position, while Wange move up to 11th. The director of Dynamos TV, Emmanuel Machinya, said the team's poor run of form has even affected the sale of the club's DVD.
Look at the past 5 games that Dynamos has played. They've managed 4 draws and 1 win. Obviously, the team has also not helped us as Dimbari TV to market the DVD.
However, Machinya still thinks Dynamos will win the league championship this season.
For now, I'm rooting for Dynamos because I'm producing Dimbari TV, and that's the team that I also support.
The biggest movers of the weekend were Haumine, who now occupy 3rd position after their 1-0 win over Buffaloes. Coach Luke Masomere says his team is playing for fun and not for the league championship.
It's like now we are fighting for championship, whilst we are just playing for fun and enjoy.
Haumine are just a point behind leaders Chicken Inn, who have 30 points. Both Haumine and Triangle have 29 points after 16 games. In athletics, Kelvin Pangiso won his 2nd Tanganda half marathon after coming home ahead of Olympic Games bound Wirimai Juao and Kenicius Navara. For his effort, Pangiso took home $550. And finally, in cricket, the Zimbabwe cricket team have lost their 3 ODI series against India after succumbing to a 62-run defeat at Harare Sports Club yesterday. The 3rd and final ODI is at the same venue tomorrow. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Thank you, Michael. Just to remind our listeners to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts Jonga Kandemiri and Gibbs Dube will be talking with listeners and experts about the death of top novelist and poet Chenjerai Hove. Now we recap today's top stories. The Harare City Council today launched a blitz on illegal structures and demolished some properties in the city's Glenora high-density suburb. Zimbabweans have expressed shock over the death of top novelist and poet Chenjerai Hove. That's all we had for you tonight. I'm Sandra Nyaira, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night. Now handing you over to Placidus Jeremiah with the Ndebele News.